Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings, everybody. You're coming from the Wairarapa, New Zealand, and we're talking on Avant Gardening, which is a program all about gardening, the effects of gardening and producing food. Now, our presenters today are myself, Margaret, Anna-Marie and Marnie. Now, the previous program, we had started talking about composting, probably the more regular ones that everybody uses in composting. But today we're going to venture into the different types of composting. Indeed, yes. So, Anna-Marie, do you want to kick off with something very controversial?
No, I'll start with the less controversial and I'll talk about my chicken composter.
Oh, yes.
No chickens were harmed in the form of this composting. It's actually a composting method where you use the natural scratching power of chickens to do your composting for you. So, and I've got a very large chicken coop. It would be probably 20 metres by 10 metres. It's all enclosed. It's all predator-proof. And just over the fence, where you can chuck things over the fence into, a sloping kind of giant bin thing that's probably about 1.20 meters wide, and it goes down for probably about 5 meters on a slight slope. And as you chuck your things over the fence, it's things like weeds, it's silver beet, it's kitchen scraps, it's all of that exotic, you know, extra stuff that you have in your garden that you are just kind of, you're feeding your chickens basically, so things that they will eat. And you're hurling it over the thing, and it lands on the top of this bin at the end of it, and the chickens just scratch it, and they scratch, 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 scratch down to the end. As they're turning it over, it composts, and as it's gathering, it brings in a lot of worms as well. So you get lots of worms and little bugs in there doing the little compost thing, the decomposition, and it just works really well. It's an additional source of food for the chickens because the worms are attracted to all of this extra organic matter. And things. They love doing it. It gives them something exciting to do. You're not sitting in a big pile of mud. You've now, and it just works fantastically well. I also put bones in there too. And then I'll cook up pork bones or beef bones or whatever for the chickens. And then that goes into the compost system. And then they rumble that through, that whole thing. So that comes out the end. The bones are very clean because they've picked them clean and the worms have done the rest. And then eventually I gather those bones up, dry them, and then at the end of the pizza season, end of summer, put a big stack of those into my pizza oven, set that on fire, and then that over, and then shut it down, and then that turns into bone char. So that's an added benefit of the composting.
Good old cremation going on in there.
What's it?
No, I'm sorry. Cremation of the bones.
Like that.
But anyway, yes, you're breaking the bones down. That's the
indeed. So it's that whole composting system where you've got multiple functions happening within this one system. You're feeding your chickens, you're composting things, you're feeding your trees that are around it, because it's also within an orchard as well, and it just works really, really well.
That reminds me of the chicken train that you talked about?
Think
or
about
the tractor.
Yeah.
Which is a similar idea.
But a lot of work, a huge amount of work. This is the easy version of that.
Not really.
I've seen Jeff Lawton's version on this, and it was great.
I think it depends on how you do it, and when you talking about a chicken tractor. I don't have chickens at the moment. I haven't had chickens for a couple of years, and I really miss them because they're incredible time wasters. You can watch them for hours. So I have a number of raised beds in the veggie garden by the side of the house. I built a hood, a cage that fits over the top of the veggie beds and is big enough to put three chickens in. So if I have a veggie bed that is weedy, needs work, needs composting, needs the bugs taken out of it, whatever it is, I pop this thing on top of the raised bed. I pop a couple of three chickens in there and I just let them have at it. And they just do the biz.
And how long do you leave
chickens?
Go the chickens. And they turn it all over and they poop in it and they take all the little bugs and the worms out and, you know, the little nasties out, the critters, whatever, and they do a really, really good job. And then when they're done, I can take them out of there, pop them back into the main run with all their mates, and then move that thing to one side until I need to do the next bed. And the next bed. And the
and
next
Marnie,
bed.
And Marnie, do they line up saying, it's my turn?
It's my turn, turn. It's my turn.
Get out of here.
Well, the downside of this is, if they ever get out, because I had them in a run at my old house. If they ever get out, they make a beeline for the veggie garden because they know what's going on.
Well, they'll know where all the interesting bits are. Yeah. Okay.
But it works really, really well, and I find that you don't actually have to leave them in there that long, just, you know, a couple of days. There's a little piece at the end there where they can go in and sleep at night. Just a couple of days, and they've turned the bed over, and they do a really, really good job. Saves me doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's bringing in the things about turning compost, mixing it up. That's fantastic.
But you do have to have built this cage structure to fit on top of a raised bed, but all my raised beds are all the same width.
So
it fits well on there. And you do have to put the thing, and you do have to put the chickens in, and you do have to make sure that they've got water and all of those other things.
Yeah.
Alternatively, the other type of chicken tractor is one that goes out into the paddock, goes out onto the grass, or it could go out of the grass on a suburban lawn, where it's a chicken run, but it's on wheels.
Yes, and then you move them around.
You move it every few days.
Yes.
So that fertilises the grass.
That also strips the grass.
Keeps them them fed, keeps the grass down, a whole bunch of other stuff. Yes. Doesn't actually do anything for your veggie beds, though.
No, okay. No. So that's the one form, your chicken, what do we call it?
Composting,
tractor.
Yes.
And then what other nice controversial kinds of composting?
Well, we've got bokashi, which is a ancient Korean form of composting, which is very interesting. I have a few issues with it, as I do with these things. Mainly the expense. I think it's a bit of a fad, the way they do it. So the way that the ancient Koreans used to do it, just to dig a hole, chuck all their food scraps in, and that included meat and fat and dairy and cheese, which normally you wouldn't compost, because of the reasons we talked about in the last program, attracting rats and causing a few putrefaction issues. But they would do this with this hole, and then they'd cover it over with dirt and then make it reasonably airtight. And what happens with that is that you have a bacteria called Lactobacillus. And that...
I'm not a scientist, but anyway, I believe you.
So this bacteria, Lactobacillus, is very important. It's the one that you use when you're pickling something. So your pickles and your cucumbers and bits and pieces have got this bacteria in them. It's got quite a nice smell, and it causes fermentation. Okay, what's happening in this little pit, and it also happens in silage that you feed to cows as well. If you put any of that sort of organic matter and you put it into a anaerobic situation, anaerobic means without oxygen, and you seal it up and you have it in this anaerobic situation, as long as you don't have really dodgy bacteria in there, if you've got the good Lactobacillus in there, you will get a fermentation. And then with the bokashi system, the idea is that it is a composting by fermentation rather than decomposition. When you decompose organic matter, you get methane as a byproduct, you get heat as a byproduct, and you can get leachate, which are a little bit, you know, a little bit difficult. You know, something I don't have an issue with it, but you know, there are reasons why you would not necessarily want a heap of greenhouse gases and carbon dioxide going into the air. The bokashi system eliminates that. The issues with it are that in about 1986, somebody commercialised it for household use. So you can buy a special little bin with a bran that is inoculated with Lactobacillus, and you put all your little in your house. The bin has to be sealed. You have it under your kitchen bench or on your bench if you want to, and you chuck all your household waste into there, and then you sprinkle this rather expensive bran that's got this bacteria in it inoculated, and then you put the lid back on, and then it ferments quietly. And after 2 weeks to three to a month, you can take it outside and bury it in a hole. My answer question is, A, why is it costing so much money when you can just bury a hole and do the whole thing naturally?
But once it's in the hole, when are you going to use it?
It's now in the hole as this kind of soil additive that hasn't produced any greenhouse gases and it hasn't produced any...
Oh, you can use bits of it. I mean, I had this vision, you dug a special hole, put it in there and forgot about it. But it gets spread in the garden.
It gets spread in the garden, or you can have it in the hole. It still needs to kind of compost. It still has to do its thing actually in the soil, where you've got other bacteria that is still doing a thing.
Does it produce it like a...
I just have a huge issue.
I have huge issues with this as well.
I really do. To me, this is making something which is very simple into something which is very complicated.
It's like, oh, composting all over again, isn't it? Sorry, honey.
Does it make like a liquid?
There is a little bit of liquid that comes out the bottom that you can then water down and spread on your garden. It is quite acid because it produces that whole fermentation process produces lactic acid. So it actually preserves the organic matter. This is how it's different from decomposition, which is normal composting.
Okay.
So it's quite a different kind of...
So you still end up with a bit of a slushy none or what?
You kind of end up with a brown kind of smudgy thing. The way the bin is set up is it's got a little tray at the bottom where the liquid kind of goes out because you don't really want that to kind of fill up with liquid because that kind of stops that whole kind of symmetry. And so you can drain that off and you can water that down and use it like a compost tea kind of thing. Yeah. It's got stuff in it, but you would have, it is quite acid, so you do have to kind of...
So it's quite an expensive method. I mean, it's a method used...
It's a bit faffy.
It is a lot faffy. You've got to buy the bucket, you've got to buy the brand.
End badly.
You're going to funny around. To my mind, if you need a bin to put your materials into compost, you can just keep a bin with a lid on it in your kitchen, and when it's full, take it out and bury it.
You've got to be underneath the bench. There's a compost bin.
There you go.
You know, or they used to call it the pig bin, but that's another story.
Well, one of the issues with the Bokashi system is that if you get it wrong, and if you've accidentally introduced the wrong bacteria into there, it can start to putrefy, and that is as bad as it sounds.
Smell.
Think of vomit on a towel that's been left beside a heater for a week. Or in your car.
See, that's a picture I didn't need in my head.
Oh, sorry.
I just thought of these young children of mine over the years of different objects lying around the house.
We all had that little, that was a nasty little memory, wasn't it? But that's the problem with it, is it can produce some very unpleasant putrefaction smells if you get the wrong bacteria. I had a friend who had a Bokashi system, and he really liked it, except when he put it in the back of his car when he shifted house.
Oh,
and it tipped over. And on the way, he came to visit me. And he stood a long way away from me. And he said, "Don't come anywhere near me. I smell like old vomit."
Oh, lovely.
And he told me what had happened. And I thought,
Your car's going to smell forever.
That's not going to be good.
So it's a very complicated method, but it is a method that's around. And if people want to use it, they need to think through.
It's not complicated as such, but it's just...
Expensive.
It's expensive, and it's just a bit of a faff. Yes. Quite honestly.
Well,
I think this whole program has been going for the simpler, easier way of doing things. You know, one gets caught up in all these ideas and systems and whatnot, and actually it comes down to basics in the end.
It does.
I think it has to be easy. Everything has to be easy. If it's not, you're not going to do it. You know,
or you're going to get tired of doing it.
I suspect there's an awful lot of Bokashi bins out there that have been used for about a month and they're, oh, for goodness sake, and then put in the back of the garage.
Yes.
Because it really is, you've got an ongoing cost of this inoculated brain. You're fiddling about. If it goes wrong, it goes horribly wrong.
Okay.
You know, and then you've still got to go and dig a hole in your garden. You've still got to bury it.
Yes.
You could have just done that, just dug a hole in your garden and bunged it in there.
Yeah.
See, I've done that as well in my raised beds in my veggie garden. Mm. Particularly if I've got a lot of bulk stuff, so pumpkin season. If I make a lot of pumpkin soup and I eat a lot of pumpkin, I grow a lot of pumpkins and I make a lot of pumpkin everything. But if you're doing a lot of preserving, you end up with an awful lot of skins of things, onion skins and pumpkin and whatever else it is that you've got knocking about. And you can overwhelm a compost bin a little bit with that if you're not careful, not to mention your chickens. So I direct trench. I dig a trench in the raised bed. It's about a foot deep and it's about a spade width wide. And I chuck all this stuff directly into that trench and cover it up.
Yep. Fantastic.
Which was a method we can mention, because another one is throwing stuff on your pathways in between and throw bark or something on it and it becomes its own little composting thing, and then you can scrape it up later.
Everything decomposes. Yeah. As you said, it's just a matter of time because you've got this constant nitrogen source coming naturally out of the sky.
Yes.
There's nitrogen in rainwater, just a little bit.
Yes.
The more the thunderstorms, the more nitrogen you get in there. And as it lands on the ground, even if it's bark will eventually degrade.
I know.
Because of the bacteria that are in the soil.
I'm always putting bark on to make my garden look sweet. And then I look and I need to do it again.
Yes. So, yes. And the birds
And you told me a little while ago, just leave the leaves.
Yeah.
And I'm finding this sort of automatic composting going on outside there. It's fantastic.
I'm
going to become a really lazy gardener.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not tidy. We're not talking box hedges and beautiful bowling.
No, we don't want that. We'll get onto meadows and things one day too. Okay, let's go on to worm farming, which is another sort of container.
It is. Yes, it is. It is a container. Worm farming is a bit controversial too. People think the liquid that's coming out of the bottom of the worm farm is actually worm wee, they call it. Worms don't actually urinate. So what's actually coming out the bottom of the worm farm is actually leachate. And if you get that wrong, it can not be overly good for your garden. It can be a little bit strong, it can have a little bit of the wrong bacteria in there and things. So you've got to be a bit careful about what you do with it. And it's like any other CBT, you would actually just water it down and then apply it.
Okay. So added to a worm farm, beside the worms, is your kitchen waste.
Yes.
But it's not as necessary like a compost heap of layering. It's basically bits and pieces.
It's bits and pieces. You've got to be careful you don't overwhelm your worms.
Yeah, yeah. Some things they like better than others. Yes. If you chuck too much citrus in there, they're not going to like it.
Onion skins.
It's balance.
Like it. Yes, it's balance again. But it's basically kitchen waste. I mean, you're not throwing your weeds and grass clippings and things like that.
Not really. You put a bit in there, but because worm bins tend to be quite small, if you put a lot of bulk stuff in there, it fills up really, really quickly, and it's not necessarily got enough stuff in there to carry the worms, to feed the worms.
But also mentioned, these are special worms.
These are not tiger worms,
which you can buy online.
Mm,
what else can you buy online? I mean, it's amazing.
It's expensive. It's kind of, I'm not convinced with the whole worm farm thing. I have a worm farm, but I'm not overly convinced by the stuff that I get out of it, to be honest. I'd rather have my worms in a compost heap. I think it's another fad that's, it's just more complicated. It's just another thing to do. When if you just have your worms in your compost heap and in the ground, that to me is a better system of
I think it depends on how much space you've got as well. If you don't have a very big property, you can have a small worm farm that you're feeding your kitchen scraps into that's producing this leachate. And that leachate, you can dilute that down and use it for...
Use it
all over your garden, use it on your house plants, use it anywhere you like, as long as you dilute it down enough.
Leachate is actually compost tea.
It is, of course it is.
Oh, there we go. Okay,
that's absolutely what it is.
Right. I was expecting pushback. But
No, that's totally what it is. So as you add materials into the top of the bin, those materials have... They're moist. They have liquid in them. A worm bin has to have a certain level of moisture in it, A, for the worms to live in there because they're moist creatures, but also to help things to break down. As the worms are moving through the what's in your compost bin and they're eating it and excreting it out the other end, the liquid that's there as well tends to drop to the bottom. That's the stuff you collect at the bottom. That's actually the gold, because that's all got all the stuff that's got all the nutrients and all the other lovely stuff in it that you need. If you don't have space to put three compost bins or to compost in place or to do trenching in raised beds or all these other rather large scale things, if you're growing tomatoes on the balcony of your high rise flat somewhere in the middle of Wellington or whatever it is, something like a little worm farm can quite easily produce well enough liquid compost tea for you to keep your tomatoes and probably everybody else's going too.
Oh, right.
So it's a question of space. It absolutely has its place. And it produces this concentrated compost tea that is great for pretty much everything. But it depends on what you put into the compost bin. If you're just putting one or two certain types of things, if you're just putting citrus in, if you're just putting vegetable waste in, then that compost tea will only have the ingredients of what you put in. So you need to put lots of different things into your compost bin to make sure that what you get out the other end has got lots of different nutrients in it, which is good for everything.
Yeah. Then the next controversial thing, I love having you because you kind of bring in things that I had never dreamed of. What was this thing about? Was it animal farm? I mean, dead animals.
Yes, if you've got animals, if you've got livestock, you've got dead stock. Nobody wants dead stock, but it does happen. You do, you know, animals will die giving birth. They will. You know,
but is it sheep die in 100 different ways according to Marnie in the previous program? Yes.
So big farm lots have an animal waste issue, and it is complicated and it is difficult. And so one of the ways that they're looking at getting rid of dead animals is to actually compost them. And so you have these huge big windrows where you bring a lot of organic matter, you can use bark, you can use all sorts of things, and then you bury the cow in that to a certain depth, and over about a year it completely disappears. All of the bones are gone, everything has gone, it's just turned into this very rich compost. It cuts down on a lot of emissions, it cuts down on leachate, it cuts down on, there's a reason why they do this, and it's a much better system than just dumping them in a big hole, where which is what we used to do.
Every farm used to have a big pit awful, somewhere, an awful and farm. All the good murder stories had a body in it as well. But yes, anyway. So where's the start
The problem with an awful hole is that because it starts to putrefy, all of that really quite unpleasant stuff ends up in the water system.
Yes.
Which is not a good idea.
Okay.
You don't want that. And so we used to just dig a big well almost. They come and they drill a big hole in the ground. You just chuck all your dead sheep and dead cows and whatever in there. But that's not a good way of doing it. If you can compost it and turn it back into something useful, that's a much better
way. It's not actually a very efficient way of doing it either, because all of that dead meat material that you're throwing into the bottom of that hole doesn't have the air that it needs and the moisture that it needs and all the other things to break down effectively. I'd put dollars to donuts. There are dead stock holes all over the countryside where the contents of that hole at the bottom are still actually quite uncomposted at this point because it hasn't had the air that it needs and the moisture that it needs to do what it needs to do. But what Anna's talking about here with the composting is exactly the opposite of that. It's about making sure that all of those things that you need, the air, oxygen that you need and the moisture that you need are present to make sure that everything completely breaks down into its constituent parts.
Yep.
That's what you were talking earlier off the program about big animal farms producing things are looking towards this as an alternative. And then, of course, that compost they can put back on the paddock.
They can put it back on the paddocks,
Okay, so that's an interesting...
Yes, solves quite a few issues, really, yeah.
And your other controversial thing was about human...
Oh, human ewer. Yes, that's a very interesting topic. I am big on compost toilets. I think we spend far too much time and money and effort putting our poo into a sewage system that gets pumped about. And I mean, they are very, very expensive systems, sewage systems. You know, your big commercial one that you have around your town. Whereas, your septic tank is not necessarily a good idea either. It just goes into a concrete tank, and then the liquid gets put out into a runoff field, which is fine. But then you've still got to take all that stuff in the concrete tank, take it away and put it back into a system. So composting toilets, because we have one with our caravan and we have one in our garden for our visitors to use. My husband, when we built our house, couldn't cope with one in the house. It was just too much for him. It was a step too far. But the one in the garden is fantastic. And if you use pine sawdust, so you just basically have a bucket and then you put a little layer of pine sawdust at the bottom. Pine because it smells like because it's got a lovely smell to it, sort of thing. You can use any sawdust, or you can use garden mulch, or you can use, twiggy bits or bark or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you do your business on top of that, and then you put another little layer of the stuff. Ash is fine
ash
as well.
There's no smell.
It's absolutely fantastic. And you take that and you pop it into a separate compost bin out on the food forest or something or other. It just does its thing. And after a year, it's great. Now, some people like to hot compost their stuff to get rid of all the pathogens and whatever else might be in there. I just don't plant lettuces in it, is the thing. Don't plant stuff where you're directly eating out of it. Have it under a fruit tree or have it, mine is in a closed system that then goes into the soil and does its thing there.
But But when you think of it in the old days, I'm just thinking of visiting my relatives on a farm many years ago. We won't say how old. And it was a pit and ash.
Yes.
Through ashing.
Now the
and they didn't smell.
No, the pit is a bit of a problem because it goes down there and it's anaerobic.
Yes, and it doesn't actually can't get it out.
That's
but I mean,
right. Yes.
Yes.
But this system is basically a compost system where you're reusing what would otherwise be a waste material.
Yes.
For things. Don't necessarily tip it onto your veggie garden, but there are, you know,
other ways of doing it.
Other ways of doing it that adds that nutrients back into the soil.
Right.
And it's to me, it's I think it's a fantastic system. I personally think that all new houses should come with their own water tanks, their own solar system, and a composting toilet.
Yes.
And a garden, for goodness sake. What is this infill thing? Anyway, sorry, I'm starting to rant.
That's all right. We don't mind that. It gives a bit of flavour, as you say, you know. All right. We're getting now probably the last few minutes. Is there any other controversial systems of composting that you would like to throw into the mix? I think
we don't know if there's any controversial ones, but ultimately all composting is the same. It's about providing the right conditions for organic material to break down, to feed new plants, organic material, whatever it
and
is.
It's and it's dealing with waste.
It is dealing with waste, and it's also it's a way of making sure that the nutrients that are on your property stay on your property and continue to be available and useful.
So again, it's a cycling, looking at, you know, there's a cycle within your own home or farm or whatever it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, how we can talk about that. We will probably talk in the next program about regenerative farming, which is another story. But it's this whole idea of what you have, you use it as a resource.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's your leaves, your twigs, your grass clippings. Mm. What do people do when they have these acres of lawn?
I mean, they bung it in a green bin, and then
it
gets taken away, and one hopes composted or just dumped or something. I assume it's going into a compost system, but all of that uses keep it on your property. Don't send it out into the thing.
Well, I'm very naughty.
I had a neighbour who had several horses, and I used to go down three or four times a year. I'd go down with a whole load of feed bags and come away with about 20 feed bags full of very nicely composted horse poo. Mm. And I used to joke with her, I was a net importer of poo.
Well, I'm just ending off now, but as you saw going past the window was a man with a large trailer. He's picked up our worker, the husband, and they're going next door to fill it with horse poo because next door we've got a farm with
fantastic thing. Yes.
So I have to say that's been very interesting, all these different things. Mm. And thank you. And Marnie, you've managed to get through without passing out completely. Let's hope you feel better next week.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.